All right, welcome. We're so glad you decided to spend your last session of the day with us. We do, before we get started though, have one more request. Those of you that just come in a few minutes ago, we're trying to do a survey for our desktop optimization pack, MDOP customers. So if you have MDOP and are subscribed to MDOP and are using at least one product from the suite, if you would take a couple minutes and fill out a survey, if you'll just raise your hand, Kevin and Tara will bring you a survey. You don't need to bring it up, just finish it, and then at the end of the session, just hand it to Kevin or Tara on your way out or bring it up here. But that'll help us get a good idea of additional feedback from our MDOP customers and hopefully help us continue to improve our products. So, glad you're with us today. My name is Tim Crabb. I'm a senior program manager in our MDOP team working on user experience virtualization. With me is Jeff Gilbert. He's a senior content publishing manager here at Microsoft. And today, hopefully, we can help you learn and understand a little bit about how to deploy and manage virtual applications and settings in System Center with MDOP. Okay? So with that, let's jump in and talk a little bit about what we're trying to accomplish. Today, when we talked about this session and what would be meaningful to you, we wanted to give you kind of a soup-to-nuts overview of how Configuration Manager can work with AppV and UEV and really deliver a valuable solution. So today, we're going to go through a lot of things quickly. I apologize if it goes fast, and we won't have a lot of time because we have so much content packed in here for questions as we go. So please try to make note. We'll try to answer them as we go as far as the content we presented, but we'll answer most of the questions and if we can. But the goal is, you'll see, is how we've done this and really understand three things. One, how AppV simplifies application deployments, how UEV helps you manage your settings, and then how Configuration Manager really is the glue that takes an environment you're familiar with and how to manage those desktops and really simplify and manage these deployments in ways that you haven't done before. So, with that, let's talk a little bit about our scenario we're going to walk through today. Many of you may hopefully find some similarities with this. As Jeff and I kind of put this together, we tried to base it on experiences we've had talking to customers and real-world experiences we've had. So our first scenario is the end user is Art. Okay, Art's like many of the end users you deal with. Art needs stuff quickly, and he needs to install an application because he's got a project he's working on. All right, now, a lot of times, if it's a unique application, you're not sure how that's going to interact on the desktop. So the administrator needs to make sure they've got that deployment agility to roll down apps quickly without breaking their existing configurations. Now, the other side is, Art also is a pretty demanding user. Many of you may have some of these in your environment. And as Art roams between devices, he expects his applications and settings to just be there and work. Now, there's a lot more to that. You and I know that. But the good news is our administrator knows how they can do this and use policy settings in applications and manage this all using Configuration Manager. So with that, you're going to see how we take Configuration Manager and the tools in MDOP to deliver this end-user valuable solution and really add valuable experiences for both the administrator in delivering this and the end user in actually consuming it. All right, so let's talk about the technologies. Many of you have already heard a lot about Configuration Manager 2012, so I'm not going to talk a lot about that. But this really becomes the foundation as it integrates tightly with AppV, UEV ties into this, and the other components we're going to talk about today. You'll see that as our foundation technology. Application virtualization, this allows you to deliver applications and use these in ways you haven't done before because it allows you to dynamically make these available on any PC that you authorize to get them without having to install like you do traditional applications. And then finally, user experience virtualization gives me the capability to take that experience from device to device that my settings can now follow me for applications and the OS.
Okay, thanks, Tim. So you're going to see a lot of demos in this session, a lot of cool stuff we're going to show you. We're going to start from the beginning, go all the way to the finish, all the user applications, data, settings, everything bundled up. We're going to start off with Configuration Manager. We're going to enable data to be roamed using Configuration Manager settings. We're going to sequence application. We're going to create a virtual application package using the AppV 5.0 sequencer. We're going to take that application. We're going to deploy it with Configuration Manager. I'm going to show you a little bit about the application model, how we're leveraging that for both physical and virtual applications. We're going to open up the UEV generator. We're going to open up create a template for our application. We're going to deploy that template, and we'll show you how the settings translate across the environment. And finally, we're going to use Configuration Manager's desired configuration management feature to ensure a consistent setting experience for UEV. All right, so when I was an SMS admin, I had a whole server room. Today I don't, so my laptop is our server room. right? So these are the two demo machines we're going to see. You're probably not going to have all this on your machines back at your home networks, but for the purposes of our demo, just to kind of get you settled in to orient you to the lab setup, this is what we have, right? So I've got one server. It's a Server 2012 domain controller, configuration manager 2012 SP1 primary site, along with all the required shares we're going to need, and I'll show you how we use all these shares. And again, all the clients we need to get this demo done. On the client, Windows 8 client has all the configuration manager AppV UEV clients installed, and also has the UEV generator and the AppV sequencer installed. So we'll be using that client to do all the sequencing and generating templates.
And really, those are only needed for administration and building those. And you'll see that as we go on the demo. Walk through it. Okay, so let's talk about the first section, enabling folder redirection for configuration manager clients. This is important as you take a look at these three areas and really see what's happened with this. It's a new feature that they've exposed in CM12 SP1. Now, folder redirection has been around for quite a while. But what they've done in CM12 SP1, they give you the capability to really configure it as part of your client configuration. It makes it very simple and easy when you're rolling this out and enable folder redirection, offline files, and even roaming user profiles. And we're not going to use roaming user profiles in this because we're going to use UEV to be very specific and granular in what we roam. But this gives you a really easy way to get up and running and use this new feature. Next one is, it's easy to configure. This makes it really simple as the compliance settings are all in one place now. So when you talk about end user clients and go into manage them in Configuration Manager, this is part of that. And then finally, you'll have a easy deployment method because it's all right there. It's familiar territory and should be easy to walk through. So with that, Jeff?
All right. Switch over to the demo box. All right, so I'm in the console, Configuration Manager 2012 SP1 console. I've gone down to Compliance Settings node. In here, you'll see with 2012 SP1, you'll notice there's now a User Data and Profiles option. Right. To do this, all you simply need to do is right-click and create a new Profiles Configuration item. I've already done this to save us some time. I've already created and deployed it, but I want to show you kind of what we're doing with it here and how it's working. So if I right-click on there, get the properties. Pretty standard thing here. So you'll notice here I'm configuring the folder redirection settings. So this is going to give us our data for Configuration Manager clients. They're going to know whatever settings I put in here, we need to roam around for them. I'm doing this on any device they use that has a client installed. Now, I'm remoting the desktop and the My Documents folders only. I could redirect all these options. And if you're familiar with group policy, these are the same options that you see in the folder redirection.
So why would you not use group policy to do this?
You could. Let's ask them. Could you raise your hand if you're a configuration manager, admin? Anybody out there?
Okay. Most hands should go up.
Yeah. Now, can you keep your hand up if you're also an AD admin?
A lot fewer. Yeah. A lot fewer.
Right. So this gives you basically, you know, pseudo domain administrator rights to create your own kind of GPO settings, right? And this only works on configuration manager clients, right? But this is a way that'll just enable you to implement this entire scenario end-to-end with the rights that you possess without having to go to somebody else. Right now, I'm redirecting these to a folder, which is one of the options. I'm doing that so I can show you how it works in action. We could use the second option there, redirect to their home user folder in Active Directory. We're not, and I'll show you that here in just a second. Next tab over, offline files. We're enabling offline files. This is needed for UEV, right? So we're going to enable that. You don't need to enable that if you're using VDI. And we'll show you that you can deploy these folder redirection policies out to different groups or collections, so you can configure these settings for whatever your need is. And again, as Tim said, we're not going to use roaming profiles because UEV knows the parts we want. Right? Okay, so now you've seen I've deployed it out to all my users. And if I go to the share, you'll see everyone in my domain, my little lab domain, who's logged in. And you'll see the desktop of my documents. Right? So Configuration Manager client has received this policy, and it's redirecting those hooks to the server share. Right now, there's nothing in there, but I promise I'll put something there in a second. And that's it.
Okay. Want to switch him back?
You're on.
Okay, so that gives you an idea of folder redirection. You saw how easy it was to configure. It's required, as we said, to enable offline files for UEV, but folder redirection is just a nice way to enable additional offline capabilities for folders, makes them available, so it's nice as we put this demo in, shows the configuration of it. So as we hit the next step, we want to talk about sequencing the application using AppV Sequencer. Now, we talked about this part is most important as we get into really what AppV can do for you. And there's really, I could spend a lot of time on this, but I'm just going to hit a few highlights. First off, it's all about the integrated platform. And this is when we talk about what virtual applications can do for you. And those of you that have used virtual applications, you know the benefit of app isolation. So the idea is I can install these things very quickly with them working in isolation and doing the thing that I expect them to do without having to retest the whole interoperability of the desktop. This gives me a really quick and easy way to do it. Now, with App v5.0, we've improved what we did in 4.6, and you can see that we don't have a dedicated drive letter. I don't know if you guys remember the Q drive, those of you that may have tested this. That's gone away now. This integrated platform makes it very simple and easy to roll this out, and these apps behave very much like a traditional application does, but without having to run through the traditional installs, and it puts you in control to create these applications in a virtualized environment. The next part is it's flexible virtualization. The idea is these virtual applications can work together before like they never have. It allows you to easily combine them and work them with virtual applications and even traditional applications to say, I want these to interact with their settings and controls and management. It makes it easy to allow it to integrate and perform on the desktop in ways that before, where the isolation limited us, now we have much greater control to determine how we want it to behave and interact with the other applications. Next one is the powerful management tools. And what we've done is we've given you a fair bit of controls now as you look at the interface. You can manage it now with a new web UI. And it gives you quite a bit of ability as you look at how you want to roll these out across your enterprise to really marry it and manage it in a way that you haven't done before. Now, with this, we're going to go ahead and introduce you and roll this into how we work with Configuration Manager. And this gives me a way to quickly deploy those applications and deliver them to my users in a way that really makes this even easier than before and even allows me to do some things that Jeff's going to show us where I can determine whether I want to install a traditional app or I want to install a virtual app based on rules in Configuration Manager. So with that, I'll turn it back to Jeff.
All right. So now we're going to talk about sequencing applications with the App v5.0 sequencer. Up on the screen, I'm going to sequence a small application here just to show you the process. We'll sequence it and deploy it. I've also already sequenced a much beefier application that I'm going to show you some more stuff with later. But for now, just a simple example. I'm going to create a virtual application package. I'm not going to use a package accelerator if you're familiar with those. That's basically just a scripted install. I'm going to create a default package. Now, the sequencer is checking to make sure this machine is cleaned and ready to go. There's no extra services running. There's no connections to network services or anything else that I need that wouldn't be normally that's going to interfere with the installation, right? The best practice for the sequencer also is to have this installed on a virtual machine that you revert back to base state every time. But for the demo, I'm going to go ahead and use this. So I have to stop the Windows Defender service, if I could take. Now it's off, so I'm going to refresh. It should be good, but it also knows that the command prompt's open, right? So it's a real-time check. It doesn't just check once. It checks every time you go through. So now, hopefully, we're ready to go. Again, I'm just going to create a standard application. I'm not going to talk through all the options here, but after the session, if you have questions, please come let me know. I just don't have time, unfortunately, to go through them all.
And there's two other sessions on AppV this week that I encourage you guys, Wednesday and Thursday. One on Office on Wednesday and Thursday, where they're going to talk about migrating from 4.6 to 5.0. So if you want more on AppV, those sessions are available. So.
Yep. Next. All you need to do here is select the installer. And like I said, it's just a PowerPoint viewer, so we'll grab that .exe. Click Next. Give it an imaginative name.
Don't get too imaginative. We're in Vegas.
PowerPoint viewer. All right. What we need to do here is get the primary virtual application directory. This is what the sequence application thinks of as where it's installed, right? So I'm going to go through and just select something that PowerPoint viewer would probably like. Copy that. Whoa. I'm learning to play guitar until I can't feel my fingers anymore. PowerPoint viewer. Okay, I'm copying that path right now because when part of the sequencing of the application is we're actually going to install this on the sequencer, right? So when that installer comes up and asks for the prompts for the path to install, I'm just going to paste that in there. So right now the sequencer is preparing to launch the setup application.
This is the most exciting part of the demo, isn't it?
This is. Oh, hey, that was quick. All right, so here we go. Just the standard PowerPoint viewer installation.
So now what's interesting about this in the gotcha, if you didn't catch it when Jeff mentioned up front, is this really needs to be a clean machine, because when it's sequencing and doing this, it's going to be looking at everything that interacts on that machine. So if other things are there that it doesn't have to install, you may get in an odd state. So that's why it needs to be clean. That's why they recommend a VM, so it's easy to roll back, so you always have a consistent state between sequenced applications.
You notice I just pasted in that virtual application path, virtual application directory path.
And yes, it can take some time. Mm-hmm. There's a reason we chose PowerPoint Viewer for this.
Right.
Okay.
All right, it's done. So now I'm going to check this box. I'm finished installing, and this is going to tell the sequencer to stop monitoring changes. Right. So the whole time that PowerPoint Viewer is being installed, it was monitoring all the registry keys that are being changed, all the file settings, basically a process monitor. Right. So I'm telling it to stop that. Clicking next.
Now, one thing on that, Jeff, too, if an application needs to reboot to complete installing, the sequencer will pick up and start recording after, right? So they can go ahead and let that reboot if they need it.
Yep. If it comes up saying I need to restart, just click yes and keep going, and the sequencer will catch it. Here's one option. It's not such a big deal with PowerPoint Viewer, but if you're sequencing something like Office or a larger application, this option here gives you the option to open up each of the programs in the package and run first use tasks. And this is what that's going to do is it's going to allow it to launch faster the first time you use it. Let's do it. There you go. And finally here, it's just bundling up all the changes that we just made, which weren't many. And we're ready to finish. I'm going to stop right here and just create a basic package. If I wanted to customize this some more beyond the defaults that I get with PowerPoint Viewer, I could. I could put shortcuts somewhere else on desktop. I can move things around. I could just change the default installation behavior, and that would all be captured in the package. For this example, I'm just going to stop right now and save it. Notice now the default with the sequencer, it's going to try to save it to the desktop. Because we have the folder redirection in, it's recognizing that network path. Right, so I'm just going to stay with that. And right now it's creating the entire application package for us. Again, depending on the size of the application, it could take 30 seconds, a minute, or it could take an hour. Right? This one usually takes about 45 seconds, hopefully.
See how fast Jeff's machine really is.
Right.
This is one of the arts of this. Now, while this is doing this, one of the things I'll mention, one of the common applications people try to sequence is Office. There is an accelerator kit for Office to make that a lot easier so you don't have to go through and do all some of the heavy lifting and the nuances that can happen. The bigger and more complex an application is, the more challenging it can be to sequence. So if you're running multiple, like Office is a great example where I've got multiple applications, there's plugins and all those things. So please go online and look at our accelerator kits. There's great information on how to do that. If you go to TechNet Gallery, there's people have uploaded where they've already gone through and done a sequenced application, created a package accelerator, so you can download that and jumpstart a lot of what you're doing.
Yep.
What version of Office? They have it out there for 2000, well, what version? Where's Ellen? 2010 on 4.6.
That one I know is out there. I think they might be working on another one right now, but I don't know.
There's a session tomorrow on Office, and Abby, I'd encourage you to go there. And if you have further questions, you can talk to the guy who's presenting it up front, Ellie. So he'd be glad to spend time with you on that.
Okay, so moving on. So we finished the package. It's been created. We're going to get a warning here saying there were some files excluded. It's okay. We didn't need them. This example, so we'll test it out in just a second. And now I'm just going to kind of show you what's in this package, right? So new for FV 5.0, this is a .appv file. So instead of having the old project file for 4.6, we have the .appv file. Still have the MSI for standalone virtual installations. But we also have two config files, right? So this is dynamic configuration files. So this, what this lets you do is sequence an application once and deploy it multiple times with different requirements. Right, so if, for example, I'm just going to make something up. If you sequence something that connects to a database by name, and you try to deploy this application out to a bunch of different users who all try to connect to a different database, it's probably not going to work so well, right? With this dynamic configuration file, you can modify it to connect to different databases and deploy them out individually to different groups who need those requirements, right? So you sequence it once and deploy it in many different ways. So that's pretty cool. But really, that's sequencing application.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Okay, so our next piece to talk about is we've gone through and hit the first two. We're now moving down to our application space where we're actually going to configure applications in the configuration manager. So this is where it gets kind of fun as we talk about the functionality here. If I can get that to advance. It gives you single management infrastructure. So if you think of your traditional applications, that's where I've been using configuration manager. Now I can do some really interesting things now that I marry in virtual applications. This gives me the ability to, as we said, use things like deployment types. And so this leads us to our next piece of application model. You can choose how you want to leverage this and roll out a particular application. So if it's a laptop, maybe I only want to roll out the virtual application. If it's a traditional desktop wired into the network, maybe I want to roll out, I want to roll the virtual on laptops and roll the legacy traditional on a connected desktop. It just depends on the model and rules you want to put in. We'll talk to you about that as we go through our demo today. The other piece is the management of this, and this allows you to determine very specifically how you want to work with this, and the application virtualization teams work closely with the config manager team to make this seem very seamless as you work with it. It's, again, just another application type, another deployment type, and folds in very nicely to the flow and the model that you're already used to using inside of Configuration Manager. So with that, as we said, let's move forward and see how the demo goes.
All right, so here's that desktop folder. We talked about earlier it was empty, so now you can see it's got a PowerPoint viewer. I'm not going to use that one, though. What I am going to use now, because that's not really best practice, right? I don't want to deploy things from my desktop, right? So I've taken that, I've put it into a source directory that I use for virtual applications for Configuration Manager. Now I'm just going to show you how easy it is to deploy virtual applications using Configuration Manager. Okay, so go to my applications node here. There's already two applications that are here. I'm going to talk about those in just a second. For now, I'm just going to right-click on applications, select create an application. I'm going to select application virtualization 5. You notice you do have the option for 4. That's for 4.6 integration. You can do either one. On this example, I'm doing FV5. I'm going to go looking for my PowerPoint viewer virtual application. There it is. There's that .appv file we talked about earlier. Notice for FV5, in Configuration Manager, it's going to look for the .appv file. If you're using FV4.6, it's going to look for the manifest XML file, right? So this is new. So FV5 selected. Here are the three files we talked about earlier, right? So here's that FV file, the project file, and the two configuration files. Next, you can enter some metadata here. I'm not. Moving on to the summary, I'm just going to click next. It's all pretty automated. Just kind of next, and you're going to be done in a jiffy. Really, right now, it's just taking that file, taking that package, importing into Configuration Manager. Summary, and we're done. Right, so we'll take a look at this. It's a little bit different than a traditional MSI application. Now, there are some things. So application catalog is the same. References, nothing's dependent on this app. Distribution settings, pretty much the same. What gets interesting is in the deployment types. Right, so here we have an FV5 deployment type. Content, here's all the stuff we just saw, right? Now, this is different for virtual applications, is publishing tab, right? So in PowerPoint Viewer, there's only one application, right? There's only one program in that application we sequenced. So by default, we're going to show that. And another example I'll show you in a second, if you have a lot of different things inside there, you can hunt and peck and choose what do you want to be displayed to your users. There's no requirements. So dependencies, this is a virtual application, right? So I'm going to set a dependency here. That it has an AppV client installed to run it. I'll just click Add. Here's my AppV5 application.
What's great about this is that's seamless to the user. They don't know. They just know that that app's going to show up and just at work.
Yep. And I've got the auto install set here, right? So if I try to deploy this application to somebody or somebody's computer that doesn't have the AppV client installed on it, it's going to install the AppV client first and then install a PowerPoint viewer, right? It's not part of a virtual environment. All right, I'm going to go ahead and deploy this right now. And then we'll talk about these other applications. I'm going to add this package to my one lonely distribution point. I'm going to make this installation required as soon as possible, hopefully very, very, very soon. Display in Software Center. Next. Here's the summary. All right, it's on its way. So that's the PowerPoint Viewer application we just saw. AppV client, that's pretty much the AppV client. So this is the one that's really interesting. This is Expression Studio. So this is the larger product that Art uses to do his artwork, right? Go through here, it's very similar to the PowerPoint one we just saw. It's in the application catalog. There's nothing dependent on it. Distribution settings the same. Now this is where it gets interesting again, right? So there's two deployment types for this Visual Blend, or Expression Studio. Right, so there's AppV5, so there's a virtualized version of it, and then there's a scripted MSI-based traditional application deployment. So if we look at the AppV5 deployment type, again, same as we've already seen. Notice here in the publishing tab, there's a lot more options. Right, Art really only uses Expression Blend, so technically if I wanted to, I could uncheck all of these except for Expression Blend. It's not going to change the way it's registered with the AppV client. It's just going to change the things that Art sees. And again, requirements. Now, this is different too, right? In this one, we have a requirement that says, my primary device equals false. Right? So we're trying to send the virtualized application out to our users' non-primary devices. Right? And there's lots of reasons why we want to do this. It's really part of the beauty of the application model for Configuration Manager. You know, if Art goes and logs in somebody else's computer, he's got to do something really quick. We don't want to sit there for 2 hours installing Expression Studio, right? You can get virtualized application that quick. Right? So that's a requirement for this. Dependency, again, we're dependent on the AppV 5.0 client. So if he logs in someone's computer, doesn't have it, it's going to get the AppV 5 client and install Visual Blend. Again, not part of a virtual environment. Then we have our standard traditional installation. This is also on here. Content's the same. Here's my very complex setup command line. Now for here, the requirements are set that primary device equals true. Right, so this means if I log in a computer, it's my primary device, and I'll show you how Configuration Manager figures that out here in just a second. I'm going to get the full-blown traditional installation, right? So what I've done here is I've deployed that out to my Expression Studio users group. Right, so let's go see who's in there. And there's Art, right? So if I click on Art and I go to here to see what is his primary device, it's W801. So that's our client. That's our other client machine. Again, just a standard client. All right, so if Art logs into the Windows 8 client, he should have the full-blown version. If he logs into our server here, he should get the virtualized version. All right, so that's basically how the application model works with Configuration Manager when deploying these things out. You could have traditional or virtualized, depending on your requirements you set.
Now, the nice thing I like about it is the user doesn't think about it. This is all based on what the administrator determines, and then Configuration Manager does the right thing for you. Yep.
So now I switch back over to client, and we're going to see if PowerPoint Viewer deployed while I was talking. And it did. Okay. All right. So now you see it's picked up that there's now an application on this computer that can open PowerPoint. Right. So we'll open this up so Art can see his handiwork he needs to focus on for this conference. So Art's going to use this as a source file, an Expression Blend, a little bit later here.
Apparently, PowerPoint Viewer is bigger than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Must be the image.
So what? Yeah. So here's one pseudo gotcha here. As it's being installed, it's registering itself with the AppV client. Those hooks that say I can open PowerPoint might install before the actual application does completely, right? So you probably never see it still installing. So right now it's there, but it's not all the way there. If we open the AppV client, you'll see that it's expanding into the virtual registry.
And this is worse, obviously, because our virtual environment here. We've got more hard drive hitting and all that than before. This gives you an idea of what can happen behind the scenes. Your user would basically just see a little bit of a wait, 99 times out of 100, it's much, much faster.
Yeah.
Than this.
It's slowly streaming in. So another administrative note about this. My configuration manager site has everything cranked down to like 1 minute, so I'm sure I'm pressing it here. Right, so now...
Yes, do not do that at home.
Yeah, that's not recommended. So here we see Arc and now see PowerPoint, right? So that's a pretty simple example, but we showed you how to sequence the application, how to deploy using Configuration Manager, and as we go along a little further here, we'll kind of dig into some more details.
Okay. All right, so the user's got the file that they need. Art's happy because he's able to get that and work with it. But one of the things that we talked about that's important is that we want to be able to provide a way for the user to work between their environments. So this is where we get to the next step in level 4 of generating a template that those settings will roam between devices. So one of the great things that we talked about with user experience virtualization is that the user gets an environment that's personal and flexible. So if they're familiar with working on multiple devices, typically you get people that have to customize each device as they go. If something happens, they have to roam somebody else's, that it's just disruptive. This allows them to personalize once and have that roam between devices for them. The syncs are smart and fast. If you consider how we compare to other profile products, many times they grab the entire profile. What UEV allows you to do is work in a very simple, versatile environment where we define specifically what we want to work on. By default, we include in the box a number of what we call settings, location, templates. And templates allow you to define specific applications and have a set of default OS settings that you're able to quickly define and pull into your environment. This makes it really easy to get specifically exactly what you want and not have to worry about a 10 or 15 minute login to grab everything that you don't need. If you want to customize Windows background, you can. If you want to customize a couple of applications, so the toolbars roams, IE favorites, and so forth, all that is easy to do as part of the templates that are defined in user experience virtualization. And finally, the last part is it's integrated and scalable. And one of the great things that we've done in this product as well is, much like AppV can leverage that same infrastructure that Configuration Manager has, UEV is the same way. There's no infrastructure required except a common file share that I can actually copy settings to and from. And this allows us to natively and easily integrate inside with Configuration Manager because we're not replacing servers and changing things around. It's a really easy way to be able to pull this in and manage it. So with that, we're going to jump back and see what we can do for our friend Art and how we can make this work.
Okay, so Art's called the help desk again. Now he's mad because when he changes computers, his settings never stick, right? Anybody have a user like Art calls the help desk all the time? Yeah, I used to get them when I was an SMS admin all the time. All right, so logging in here as administrator. I'm back on our client machine that has the UEV generator on it. What we're going to do here is we know that Art likes to use Blend, right? So we're going to create a UEV template, a settings template for Visual Blend. Again, this is the UEV generator. I'm just going to click the create a template option. Hopefully it starts responding. There we go. All right, so here I'm just going to browse to the XE for blends.
Now what I like about this is you don't have to go to an XE. You can see you can also just select a shortcut file. So if you have it on your desktop, whatever's easier to browse to.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to leave these command line options. Don't need those. Don't need the working folder. What I am going to do is leave this box checked. And what this is going to do is it's going to start up Visual Blend and capture all the settings locations that Visual Blend is looking in, right? So right now, just like the sequencer does, it kind of gets a baseline of what's going on before the application launches, and it's going to monitor it as the application launches and any changes that are made, and it'll record those settings locations.
Yeah, one of the key things on this is it doesn't grab the settings themselves. It just gets the locations. So we're watching for things like where the app reads and writes from in the file system, the registry, to make sure we capture those. So you can't use this to pre-populate settings, but you can use it to capture the settings the user creates as they go.
So I'm just, I don't have to do this, but it's a demo, so I'm paranoid, right?
Well, one of the things that Jeff does is, by default, most applications are reading and writing from a set of locations. But some applications, especially larger applications, may only read and write settings at particular points. So he exercises specific settings he wants, so he guarantees that those are written. Okay, if that makes sense.
Just going to exit out of there. So the generator is now, it's inventorying all the changes we just made in all those settings locations. And it's done. So here's what it found. So there's standard and there's non-standard, right? So the UV generator knows, hey, here's where all these settings are. Everything you just did, that application just opened up. This is where it keeps its settings locations, right? Users can access this. This is what you're going to need for 99% of your deployments, right? It also found some non-standard stuff, right? So these could be things that users can't access, or they're not necessary for the operations, or they're just something that may not be needed.
Yeah.
Again, same with files, right? So it monitors registry and files. It's found some standard files in here. Okay, we'll keep track of those settings. Non-standard, no, I don't need the log, right? So I'm not going to check that. So I'm just going to capture these standard things. Click next. I can edit the metadata here. Again, I can edit these last chance here, right before I create it. I'm just going to click create. All right. Now, I'm going to save this template file into our UEV catalog, which I will explain in just a second. And I forgot to put a V. Demo's mad at me again.
So while he's doing that, I'll give you a background on catalog. One of the things that we needed to do with the templates is we needed a way to make sure that they could get to the clients. So if you added a new template or added something like that down the road, how would I get that out to all my thousands of clients? So we came up with the concept of catalogs, that the agent would look out on the network to see if anything had been updated in that catalog. If it has, it will download the updates. By default, it does it once a night at 3:30 in the morning. So
I've tweaked that in the lab, so hopefully 1 minute from now to work, right? So this is just running through the file shares here. These are the file shares I talked about at the beginning that are up on the file server or on our domain controller. This is one of those file shares. Now, this is just a hidden file share. This is where we put our custom templates, right? By default, if you look in here in the installation, UEV comes with some standard templates also, right? So these cover most of your Windows accessories, Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10, right? So by default, UEV is going to track those settings for you. If you want to do something separate or custom, literally, we create a custom catalog and you put it in here. When the UEV agent notices that one of those applications has been started, it'll save your settings out in the network. Right, so these paths are installed at install time. You can set those with UEV, or you can use group policy to set them. Right, so this is our UEV agents know to put them out there. It's a hidden folder called settings packages, and you'll see if any of those monitored applications starts up, we'll track it here. So I'm just gonna give you just a quick example here. I'm just going to open up a calculator. Change a setting. Exit out of it. And there it is. Right. So these are the settings that we just changed. So it's keeping track of that. If I log into as administrator, if I log into another computer and open up calculator, I'll have that same view.
So on settings, just so you know, it does capture those on what we call trigger points. So when an application starts, it goes to read settings. It'll go check on the network if any settings have been updated, and it will also capture those on exit. It's very fast, writes it out very quickly, and on OS settings, we'll do it at log on and log off, and also at lock and unlock.
All right.
How big is the file? Oh, they're very, very small. They're binary format, see, all of 1 kilobit. Obviously, they vary in size. You get more settings, more applications. Office is not 1 kilobit, but we do keep all those there and available.
And we'll show a way here in the next demo of how you can throttle that to keep it. If it gets too large, you can stop it from going. All right, so that's cool. Calculator works, but Art doesn't care about calculator, right? So
he will if the settings move.
Let me sign off of here. Back into my server. So this is Art. He's going to come over here, open up Expression Blend. And let me show you. If I go back to the settings. For Art, so, right? So this is, it's in a hidden file, so you have to show hidden folders. And here, so there's no no visual blend settings here. And actually, let me show you one other thing while I'm here. Just to show you real quick, this is, remember, Art is on the server. That's not his primary device. So if you look in here, you'll see. The wrong folder. If you look in here, you'll see the virtual applications have been deployed. So this is where Visual Blends lives, in the virtual environment on this computer, right? So there's no dedicated Q drive. It's just shared out to there. Why doesn't it like me? I reset the other one.
It'll get there.
There we go. So Art's going to come in here. He doesn't like the dark format. Come in here and change it to light. That's good. Then maybe the animation workspace. Just any change, right? So this is something Art would just normally do as part of his daily job, right? We'll exit out of there.
Again, that was the virtual app, right?
That was the virtual one.
Okay.
Right. So here are the settings we just changed. Right. So now if Art logs in somewhere else, you should get those settings.
That was a confident knock.
Let me hide this, right?
That was a confident knock.
All right, we're now going to log in back into the client.
So the reason we're logging in and out, if you remember, we had on the deployment type, we said if he logs in on this machine going virtual, on his primary machine, which is the client, make sure it's a physical deployment. So that's what we're showing there. That's why we're in that admin workstation, to show that wasn't his primary machine. That's where we got virtual. Now we've gone to the physical.
Thanks, Tim. So this is the traditional installation. And there you go. So his settings are transferred over. So we generated the template on a traditionally installed application. We deployed it out. We showed that it works on both virtual and physical applications now. Right. So it doesn't matter where he logs in. It doesn't matter if it's MSI installed. It doesn't matter if it's a virtual installation. He's always going to have his data from the redirection. He's always going to have his applications because he deployed them using the configuration manager deployment types. And now he's going to have his settings for those applications too.
Yeah, what makes that really cool is Art's world, he doesn't understand how cool all that stuff is. But he doesn't call the help desk because it just works. And two, we've given him a premier experience without him even thinking about it. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Okay?
All right.
All right. So as happy as Art is, before we celebrate, we want to do one more thing. And that's we need to make sure that Art continues to run flawlessly. So part of this is as we look at how we do that, this is again where Configuration Manager comes in and the integration that we want to take. So when we look at this, we talk about how UEV integrates. We want to talk about the DCM pack. And it really does a couple of things for us. This allows us to go ahead and have a consistent configuration experience. So one of the things that we've done with UEV is we've gone ahead and provided an ADMX template out there so you can use group policy to enforce configuration. But we've also released that same set of configurations, so if you're using Configuration Manager, go ahead and use the DCM. That way you can use that familiar environment that you're used to and go ahead and get many of these same settings. It allows you to be consistent in how you configure the agent and really deliver an experience that you want. The other thing that we've done is we've made it super easy. It's out on the Download Center. You can go ahead and pull that down, and again, because it's a DCM, it integrates very standardly to the way that you've done other things. And then finally, very easy to deploy. It ties in with just the standard baseline model and configuration items. We give you those, and you can easily go ahead and start plugging it in and going. Back, walk through and show you now.
All right. So I'm back logged in the server as administrator. We're going to go back to the Assets and Compliance, click on Configuration Baselines. Just going to right-click. I'm going to import configuration data. And I will explain to you where all this stuff came from in just 1 second. Here's the baseline, right? So this is the standard default UEV baseline you can download. And that's actually what I've done, right? So I went out to the Download Center. I downloaded that download. I've installed it. And what that does is it creates those folders and puts that baseline right there in that installation directory. So now all I have to do is import it, right? So I don't have to create one. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to create any extra configuration items. I just import it just like that. And there it is. Notice it has one configuration item. I reviewed that, and it's just importing it now into Configuration Manager. Okay. Obviously, it hasn't been deployed yet, so I'm going to deploy this really quickly just to get it going, and then we'll talk through kind of what it's up to. All right, so I want this to remediate non-compliant rules, right? So if I go through here and I have something that says, hey, check this. If it's not right, fix it, right? If you don't check this box, it won't fix it. I want it to fix it, right? So saying that, it must be deployed to users collection. In this case, I'm sending it out to all users. You could change that to the separate collections if you needed to. I'm going to crank this down for demo purposes. Right, so that's been deployed. Out. Now that's just going to run just like a normal DCM configuration pack, right? It's going to run on the same settings you had before. Whatever schedule you have to remediate, it's going to check on that. And now we'll show you what it's checking. So inside that baseline, we have one configuration item, which, imagine enough, checks for settings for UEV, right?
Yes.
So here are the settings, right? So here's the one we mentioned earlier about the setting size, right? Checks for templates, all these things it's checking for. Is the agent installed? Is it enabled? Right. The rules, so here are the things we're also checking for. Protection method, there's a PowerShell script that checks to ensure that the UEV agent is installed. It's working in all these operating systems. Right. No child and general security. Now, one of the things about this is we've told this, hey, if you check for something and something's not right, I want you to remediate it, right? So one of the things that we might have a problem with here, because the template catalog path is going to be different for everybody, right? So what we've downloaded isn't necessarily going to work, so we might have to come here and modify this, or we will have to come here and modify this, right? So when this runs, it's checking to see that the template catalog path, that custom folder we made, is configured for the clients. If it's not, it's supposed to reset it back to where it's supposed to be, right? So if I check the remediation script, this is what's going to run if it says I found a problem with this particular setting check. If I scroll down, and here's the registry key it's checking. Scroll down to the very bottom here. This probably doesn't exist on your network, right? So this is just a placeholder, right? So for here, you would just come in here. If I can see my keyboard.
Great thing about this is again, it's one thing to know if there's a problem, but one of the great things I like about 2012 is you can remediate it. So it's nice to get that error back that there was a problem, but even better, 2-minute edit in the script, you don't have to be a script expert, and suddenly you've got that capability.
Right. It's already all there. Let's see, what else are we looking for? So this one, check to see if the UEV agent service is running. Right, so it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm actually going to demo this, so I wanted you to see that this is one of the checks. If the agent service is running, it's fine. If it's not, it's going to restart it. All right. Again, standard DCM. Let me see if I can crank this off. Go in here. Oh, while we're waiting for that to kick in. Notice this is the folder redirection we did at the beginning. The standard, another DCM. We can view that. It's running on a standard schedule. So we know it's compliant already for folder redirection.
And we've cranked everything down in this, so it's running fairly rapidly.
Yeah.
Much more so than it should.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now on my poor laptop. Right, so here we can see, you know, the last time this DCM was checked, it's working. And eventually, we'll get the other one. Let's see if it showed up on the server yet.
Got a lot of disk to cover.
Yeah. While it's doing that, I'll go ahead and open this up.
So DCM, while he's doing that, it is available. The pack is available to download today. That was posted back in November. Again, an 80MX template with many of the same settings as there, but you do not get things like the remediation. That's one of my favorite things about the DCM and the capabilities it provides.
All right, there you go. All right, so there's like a 3-minute delay while it's running the policy download. So it's downloaded the policy. It knows it's supposed to check for this. Not sure it's ready to go yet. We'll see. So DCM is in progress. So right now it's running through all those settings. We've configured in there. It's checking for the service. It's checking for the catalog path. It's checking for the settings path. It's checking for all the things that make UEV work, right? Fresh. All right, good. So compliant. So we'll look at that report.
All this data is rolled back up in the central database as well, so you don't have to go to individual machines to see compliance. You can run compliance reports centrally. Yep. All the same things you're used to inside of Configuration Manager.
Okay, so that works. So let's go break it. Right. So here we got the UEV virtualization services running, the agent service. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to run back. Now this would normally happen on a schedule, right? This is a client agent property. It's going to run on the schedule you set it to go. I'm going to manually kick it off here again. So I notice it's downloading something now, right? So remember those remediation scripts, right? So it probably found something wrong, but it says it's compliant, right? So let's view the report. Oh, look, found something wrong and remediated it, right? So I can look in here and says, oh, I went through here, I did this rule, this one failed. So what did I do? I restarted it, right? So now if we go back to our service console, we should see, yep, it's restarted. So that's just a quick, easy example of something that we can do with a DCM pack to ensure that all of our settings are standardized, the settings are consistent across the agents.
Okay. All right, one of the really cool things about that I like also is, think about, you can roll UEV out without configuration. The agent won't do anything, it's just in a dormant state. Then you can use Configuration Manager to selectively turn on departments, divisions, whole sites as you need, to push down the configurations. It'll light up the agent, and with the right configuration, suddenly settings can start synchronizing. So it's actually very easy to do a stepped rollout of UEV, start getting the settings across your enterprise very quickly. All right, good news. We're winding down and just about to finish up. So a couple things just to remind you as we conclude. Hopefully, as you've seen this, we gave you a good idea of how you can take this and use existing Configuration Manager 2012 SP1. Hopefully, you're all using that at Pieces and Parts. And now you can roll in application virtualization and user experience virtualization and really add value on top of your existing environments. You can see the areas we all walked through here, from enabling folder redirection, sequencing applications, rolling out virtual applications, to creating the UEV agent to start doing settings by generating a template, and also actually by finally using the DCM to build the configuration that you want to make sure that this works. We believe this is a powerful solution, gives you a great way to go forward and roll out this across your enterprise to deliver real value like we did for Art. And as our administrator, we're able to do that fairly and quickly to deliver on those needs that he has. Now, you probably saw a lot of technologies. We covered a lot of things. And MDOP is a pretty good suite of products that offers a lot of information. I encourage you to look at these sections. We've already talked about Dart this morning, but you can watch that on video. But then tomorrow we have MBAM, our Microsoft BitLocker Administration Toolkit. Highly encourage you to look at that. There's some really awesome integration now available with the latest release that'll give you that for Configuration Manager. We also will be talking about Office tomorrow. You can see that specifically AppVee and Office integration. Then on Thursday, we'll talk more about UEV and also about AppVee. So please look at these sessions. If they make sense for you, we'd encourage you to attend those and get some additional information there. But with that, please give us some feedback on the session. We covered a lot of information very fast. We'd like to get your feedback to know what we can improve on as we go forward, but we appreciate that. And finally, if you want to review this again, we have that available online. So with that, let's go ahead and open it up for questions. If you can go to the mics, that'll help everybody here, and we'll do our best to get that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, question right here.
One of the things my organization is looking at AppVee for is to virtualize our XP apps.
Okay.
with that V5, can I run the sequencer on an XP machine?
No.
No.
XP is only supported on 4.6, so you would need to use App V5. You need to move to Windows 7 or Windows 8. Okay? Next question. Let's go over here.
So, is this working? What support do you have on App V5.0 in terminal services?
What support do we have in App V5.0 terminal services?
So, can I run virtual apps on a remote desktop session?
So can you run
RDS client, yes. FB5,
yes.
Yep.
Okay.
So yes, you can. That's one of the primary uses of it, actually, is to give you that flexibility and control.
It
allows it to isolate.
Yeah, there's a desktop client and an RDS remote desktop services client as well.
Okay, over here, sir.
I have two questions.
Yep.
First about AppV5. One of my guys has been doing some sequencing, and he's finding some bugs in it, one that's super critical. Apparently, it's enforcing security in the all-user areas that it's redirecting or it's grabbing, but it's not actually capturing them or vice versa. So things that are used in the program data area, for example, it won't let users get to those settings once the package has been sequenced. I guess there's a lot of people talking about that. Is that something that you guys are aware of that's being addressed?
It's when it comes to sequencing, it's really dependent on sometimes the application itself and where it's accessing, right? So this is a known issue. I know they're working on it. I can't tell you right now off the top of my head where that's at right now. But for sure, you know, if our contact information is up here, I can follow up with you after the conference if you have a specific issue or question.
And then the second one, kind of a similar thing, or maybe a way to work around some of those issues. With the UEV, how does it handle or does it handle the same types of settings, things that are in program data that you do want to have each user have their own settings, but natively there's just one set for a computer?
Those would be default, would probably be thrown out and or possibly put in the excluded area. You really won't want to include those. I mean, I'd be curious to see the specific app that you're hitting those in. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've tried to do is make sure we're only roaming specific settings that should be roamed. We found early on as we kind of did this and we're building templates that we can be very good at grabbing too much information. So we've scoped back very much what gets pulled in to make sure it's the right kind of information. For example, only things that are stored in directly accessible user directories and specific things that roam. Obviously, there's some apps that do more than that. But, yeah, I'd be curious to give me some examples, if you have those, of what those are, if they're line-of-business applications or homegrown applications. And let's just see. The nice thing about UEV is we do expose exactly what we're doing. And you saw that in the generator, so you can be very specific. Or you can even actually open up the XML directly and go in and edit the XML to do specifically what you need it to do. Okay? Next question.
When you guys are going to release the Office 2010 Acceleration Kit for IV5.0?
So the question was, when are we going to release Office 2010 Package Accelerator for Office 2010 for App V version 5.0? Is that correct? Ellie, do we have an answer we can share? I know there's work underway, but I don't know that we have an answer we can share at this time.
I didn't hear.
What was the question? Do you want a package accelerator or?
Yes, the package accelerator.
Okay, so this month is what I'm hearing. It'll be available in April.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you. That's why I have my cast of thousands up here. It's wonderful. Okay, next question. Go ahead.
I had a question on the user experience virtualizations.
Oh, over here. Okay.
Otherwise known as personalizations, I guess, right?
Okay.
Can you please reiterate what the model was for how those settings are stored, for example, in a large organization? Or is this something you would stash on home drives or on the device itself?
Okay, so the question was, what's the model for where the settings are stored? The settings can be stored basically wherever you want. So you can configure this to, by default, if you don't configure anything and you're using active user home directories, we'll actually pick up that setting and store the settings in that directory. You can override that, though, and define to push it wherever you want. So if you want to have a common share just for settings at particular locations, you can do that. And you can roll that out via policy, via the configuration manager, config pack, or you can actually roll it out as part of the installation methodology. All it needs to be is an individual user, in order to roam between devices, they need to have a common location on the file server that they can actually access. So that's the only limitation. I'm not required to have one for the entire organization. As I said, I can create, if I have multiple sites, I can create one per site. I could create one for each division, however I want to roll it out. We'll give you good flexibility to give you those three options, as I said, install, policy, or via the config pack to define that. Does that help, sir?
Yeah, so essentially the home shares would be the
home share is just an option. The nice thing about the home share, though, is I don't have to put that parameter in. If I'm already using it, it's there. And then as you saw in the demo, the home share, whenever we store the settings, they're actually a hidden directory. So the user would never see those. They're just sitting in that there in those directories buried. And then if the user does view them, they can see them. They have to have rights there because we're writing as the user. We're not doing it as some service.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
A question over here on this side.
Far side.
How do software companies feel about us deploying their apps in the virtual world, specifically with licensing?
Okay, the question was how do companies feel about virtual applications specific around licensing? One of the things that we specifically put in our license agreement is we do not supersede or change the licensing that you already have with the vendor. So when you actually do this, it is up to you to make sure you're compliant on licensing, not Microsoft. This is just an enabling deployment methodology. We have worked directly with some partners to try to make this better. So, for example, third-party package accelerators are out there, but this is by no means intended to give you a reason to get around licensing. In fact, it's actually meant to support it in many instances to give you more flexible deployment.
How do you even measure it? Do you go by usage? Like, there's no install per se.
So configuration manager, it can software metering will pick up virtual applications, so you can run software metering. API 5.0 server is a reporting server; it'll report on all the usage. There's various ways to do it, but it's not going to replace physical installations. It's really more about concurrent licensing, right? How many of these can I have open at one time? Do I want to install all these and use up all those licenses, or do I just want to dish them out and stream them as I need them, right? So. Yeah, it's just kind of hard to explain, but there's no real, it's not going to replace your current licensing thing. It's pretty standard now. A lot of people are kind of used to this now as you go out and we talk to customers. It's just becoming part of the norm now. Right?
A lot of it depends, and like I said, it's going to depend on the license use rights. Is it licensed per installed instances? Is it licensed per user? And that's why I say we can't change that. We just simply... Like I said, Jeff said we give you in Configuration Manager ways to do it, and also in the App V server.
Okay, so read your license agreements.
Yep. Read your license agreement. Unfortunately, yes. I know it's great reading, but the Crab family appreciates your diligence, especially the children. Right here.
Right-click context menus. So that's supported in App V5, I believe.
So what is it?
Right-click context menus.
When an app adds stuff to a right-click context menu.
I don't believe so. I'd have to check. Let's check. We can check after this is wrapped up.
Because that's the biggest downfall of App V is you've got a lot of apps provide context item menus on the context menus, and if by not getting it at V4 means.
So you mean that it's isolated from the main box?
Like if you've got 7-zip and you right click.
Yep.
Because that's a showstopper. We're at V4 as well.
So the comment problem, was it's a known issue. We're actively working on it.
You know, Alteris has had that for what? How many years?
Yeah. It's evolving. We're getting it. Yeah. So
we're hearing your feedback.
Okay. Other comments, questions? Oh, sir. Sorry, I got bright lights. I have trouble seeing.
App V5.0, Hotfix 1, when is there going to be the public release date for that?
AppView 5.0 hotfix 1. I don't know that I've got a date for that.
I don't either. I'm not even sure we'd be able to tell you.
Well, I've deployed. I had requested the KB article, but is there an integrated client? Because you have to deploy the AEXE afterwards. Yeah. And when it's officially publicly released, you normally can just deploy one installer.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you come up and talk to us? Maybe one of the team up here can answer the question. I couldn't quite hear it. Go ahead. Next question.
I just wanted to confirm, with UVE, you cannot use that to set any default settings in terms of experience. So if I wanted to change it to gray by default, is that correct?
That is correct. We'd encourage you to use something like group policy preferences or something like that to manage it inside the applications themselves. And then UVE will roam those settings between devices.
Yeah. UVE really captures the settings locations versus the settings themselves that way.
Yep.
The templates.
Next question. All right. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Oh, if you have surveys, if you didn't turn those in, again, Kevin and Terrell and back, thank you very much.